And if you say Om Shanti on becoming an authority of experience based on Baba's Murli of day before yesterday, what exactly does Baba mean when he says authority of experience? Before we understand that, let us understand what does the word experience mean. Experience is something which could be good experience as well as bad experience. Experience is not always a bad experience, is it? There is also a good experience. But experience could be defined in spiritual terms as something which is there in your sanskars. It's embedded in your sanskars. It's part of you. That is why Baba says, nobody can challenge an experience. You can challenge many things, but nobody can challenge someone's experience. But again, experience, if it is in the sanskars, it doesn't mean only what you have done. Usually when we say sanskar means whatever actions we do, they have an impression, and that impression is called sanskar, based on our actions, which we repeatedly do, or what we call as habits. It becomes an experience. But then, it's not only what you do which forms an experience. It's what you hear, what you see, what you feel, and of course what you do. Also what you read, it becomes part of your experience. What you see in front of your eyes, maybe you are not involved in it, but you have seen it with your own eyes. You haven't done it yourself, you just saw it. Even that becomes part of an experience. Sometimes you don't see it, you have just heard about it. Even that is an experience because you have heard about it. Sometimes you don't even hear, but you have just read it. Even that is part of experience. Is there any other type of experience? Huh? Pardon? Intuitions, okay? Intuitions, also part of experience, okay? Anything else? What? Godly, but that godly means what? Whether you see it or do it or hear it or read it. Role. But that again is doing, no? Doing action. Thinking. I don't know if you would ever think of such an experience. Well, somebody may have never heard it, never read it, never seen it, never done it in this life. But it is something which you have done in your past lives. And you may not even know that you have done it, but it is there. And sometimes it emerges in your dreams. No? Even dreams is an experience, is it not? You get such strange dreams of which you have never heard before, never read before, never even thought of it before, never done it before, but still you see in a dream. It's not seeing physically, but it's in a dream. And then we say it is maybe the impression of your past births. Sometimes it happens. So some karmic accounts to be settled, which are still there in the soul, and they are emerged in dreams. So even that is an experience. So past lives is also an experience. And we can challenge on this too. You know, many people question us. They say, you talk about serving family people, householders. But you don't have an experience of household life because we are unmarried, kumaris, celibate from birth. And especially you can give my example, being with Baba since the beginning, I've hardly seen the worldly life, what that is. Never indulged in any type of those bad habits, nothing, no experience. So somebody can challenge me and say, you don't have any experience. How can you tell us? How can you tell us anything of which you don't have experience yourself? So how can I challenge that challenge? How can I challenge that challenge? By saying, well, it may not have been in this birth, but this soul has experience of many births. I will tell you a story. It's a story, but I don't know how far it's true. And this is how we can even challenge those people who try to say these things. The story of Adi Shankaracharya. And they say about him that the one who established sannyas religion, the original Shankaracharya, that was his name. They say that someone challenged him because he was celibate from birth and he had no knowledge of family life. He was not married. He was a brahmachari, a bachelor and very pure. So someone challenged him that how can you give us enlightenment if you haven't had the experience of what sex life is? We have no experience of sex life. So how can you challenge to us? Or how can you give us or the knowledge of it too? So the story goes, I don't know how far it is true, but they say in his books that he told his disciples that I want to experience this for myself. So he said, but I can't do it in this body because this body is pure and let it remain pure. So he told his disciples that I, the soul, will leave this body. And you keep my body in state like, you keep it protected for a few days and I'll come back. I will come back. And don't inform anybody. Means let it, nobody will let, should know that, means the soul leaves the body will become dead, no? So his disciples kept it a very top secret and his body was protected and the soul left the body. And at that time a king had died. A king had died and there was a lot of sorrow in a kingdom. So this soul of Shankaracharya left his own body and entered the body of a king. And all of a sudden the king woke up, you know, from death. He just opened his eyes and everyone was so amazed. Oh, the king has become alive again. Actually, it was not his soul. It was the soul of Adi Shankaracharya. And he's become alive again, and so there was joy and, you know, everybody was happy in the kingdom. But the king looked different. His way of speaking, his way of doing anything, his way of looking at people, his behavior, everything was so different. Because he was a pious soul, a pure soul. And then when he approached his wife, the queen, he was very detached, you know, like that spiritual person. The wife was also surprised. He doesn't look like my husband. But anyway, it was Shankaracharya's soul who came to experience what sex life was. And so in that body of the king, he met his wife and then had some experience. And then the soul left the body and came back. And came back to his original body. And then challenged that person who was challenging him, that you don't have any experience of household life or life with the wife and all that. And he said, yes, I've had the experience. Now you can't challenge me. So only one experience which I did not have in this life, I have got it. But not in this body. In someone else's body. Well, Baba says you need not do that also. You need not do that. Why? Supposing someone would challenge me and say, you don't know what that life is. Should I say, okay, let me experience it? Should I leave my body and try to experience in someone else's body? Why I don't have to do all that? Yes, because I can say the experience is there of 63 births. It is there. And not just doing is something is experience. But I've read a lot about it. I had it in my college. I'm a student of biology. And nowadays it's so open. Everywhere, nothing is hidden. I was surprised, you know. I went to Australia in Sydney. Was it Sydney or Melbourne? I think Melbourne. There is a very big museum, not a museum, what do you call, where it's a huge thing. Who's from Australia here? Melbourne, yeah. I don't know if you saw it. Where they have big, big pictures, big, big models. They show films. And I was surprised. Even little children were watching what is the meaning of sex and how sex is done. I was surprised. And the mother is teaching the child what it all is. Small child, what it knows. In India, we feel, I mean, this is such a thing which is never exposed. People don't want to even say anything about it. In the Western world, everything is open. I was surprised, let me tell you. But what I'm trying to say is that Baba says you need not go for all that. The soul has the experience in 63 births. That is why very often Baba says in the Murlis, you know, many say that, oh, I can't live without it. So Baba says that for 63 births you have had that experience anyway. Aren't you fed up? Aren't you fed up? And just, and the second thing Baba says, just for my sake, only in this one life, can you not remain pure just for my sake? So what do children say? Yes, Baba, why not? Do you all doubt? Do you all hesitate? Do you all think that is not possible? You know, in today's world, people think that, well, this is normal for us, sex life. It's our food. One cannot live without it. Just like one cannot live without food. It's natural. Even that is natural. One can go mad, one can go insane, you know, all that if he doesn't get it. And Baba says, what about those saints and sannyasis, the saints who have led a pure life? How were they alive if they were without sex? If that is part of natural life, or if it's part of food. So Baba says, whatever is natural has become unnatural today. And whatever is unnatural is being thought as natural. Everything is totally upside down, opposite. Like Baba was saying in the Murli day before yesterday, that it has become so natural to come into body consciousness. Like if somebody would say, your name is not this, your name is not so and so, you will say, of course it is. You can't say, no, it is not. It is. You are so sure. Even in your sleep, I mean in deep sleep, if somebody would call out your name, what will happen? Oh, who's calling my name? It's so strong in each one, my name, physical name. So that cannot be forgotten so easily. So that has become so natural. And I'm a soul that's being forgotten. So what does Baba want us to do now? Whatever is natural or whatever is my true nature, that should emerge. But it doesn't mean that this body consciousness will go away so easily. It won't. Therefore, we have to emerge that soul consciousness again and again. This is becoming an authority of experience. Because body consciousness has become the natural way of life today. And in golden age, soul consciousness is the natural way of life. Now there, they won't have to say, I'm a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a soul. No, will the deities repeat that in their minds? I'm a soul, I'm a soul. Will they? Here we have to repeat in the mind, we have to become aware and then become the embodiment of the experience that yes, I'm a soul. I'm seated in the center of my forehead. I'm the master of my senses and I'm working through the physical senses. But in a second, I can go beyond and become detached. I am a soul separate from the body. Just as these clothes are detachable, they are removable, so this body is also separate from me and I am different. So this practice has to be done again and again. Why? Because we have become body conscious. Though sometimes Baba says, every night we just forget the body, don't we? Don't we? When we go to sleep, as we fall asleep, what happens? The body is forgotten. When sometimes some people, they sleep so heavily, such deep sleep they have, that they don't even realize, you know, they are sleeping maybe there and then when they get up, they are awake there. They roll in bed, some sleep on the floor, they roll, you know. And some even walk in their sleep, some talk in their sleep, and roll their teeth, yes, and they make such sound of their teeth. I've seen it. But they don't know. They don't know. Nothing they know. They're not aware. It's all in a subconscious stage, or maybe unconscious stage too. So that is so natural. And also it's so easy to detach from the body. Now Baba says in a conscious stage you should be able to detach from the body. That will form your natural stage of soul consciousness. And this natural stage will accompany you in golden age. Because in golden age it will be natural. And when will it be remembered? Because in natural form means our drishti will be soul conscious drishti. Our behavior will be soul conscious. Every action will be soul conscious. But when will that knowledge emerge of the soul? It won't emerge in our normal routine. It will be just natural. Just as body consciousness is natural, it doesn't emerge again and again. It's natural. So too soul consciousness will be natural in our actions and goals. But when will that knowledge emerge that I'm a soul? Because they won't mention it in their words that she's a soul, he's a soul. But when will that consciousness emerge? Huh? No. In Satyug, in golden age. Yeah, when the soul is about to leave the body. Because it has to leave again with its own will, you know. So how will it leave with its own will unless it is aware that it is a soul? So that willingness comes, just like, you know, when you are going to sleep, that willingness comes. I must sleep now. I'm feeling sleepy. I have to go to sleep. So that because of the willingness, then the thought comes, okay, and then you go to sleep. But if there is no willingness, you will not get sleep. No? You will not, because you don't want to sleep and you want to stay awake and somebody says, go to sleep. No, I don't want to. I'm not feeling sleepy. But the willingness is not there. And if the willingness is there, even if you, have some work, but you want to sleep, then you will just leave the work and you will think of going to sleep. The thought will come, I'm tired. So, in Satyug, the thought of soul emerges only the time of leaving the body. Because the body has become old, though it won't be in a deteriorated stage or all the limbs or all the organs would have become degraded, not in that form. But after passing through a certain lifespan of 150 years, Baba says, automatically the thought will emerge. I, the soul, have to now leave this body. And the soul will get a vision of the new birth, baby, a child. And I'm leaving this body, and as a light, I shall enter a new body. And it willingly relinquishes the old body. You know, this is the fruit of yoga. Even in bhakti, in copper age, or often in Kaliyug. Pardon? Yes, that's what I'm saying. There are sannyasis. There are many such yogis, they call themselves. They say beforehand that on such and such day, at such and such time, at such and such place, I will relinquish my body. And they lie down with people surrounding them and they are looking and then the soul says goodbye and leaves the body. Yes. I don't know if you have ever heard of it. Have you? Who has heard of it? Yes.
It's true. So in Copper Age and Iron Age too, the fruit, the result of yoga could be such, then why not in Golden Age? And then before leaving the body, that person, that deity or soul will give over, hand over all his responsibilities to the child. The child is there, young child, and then everyone is ready. Nobody weeps, nobody cries, because he has done it at his own will. And everybody is prepared for that. Here, people have to be sometimes forced to be prepared. You know, when somebody is terminally ill, he knows he is going to die. So forcibly he has to make himself realize, I have to die, I have to die, I have to die. And the relatives too also have to forcibly make themselves understand that he will die soon, he will die soon. But still there's so much of sadness. But then because you're prepared, when he dies, that's the sorrow isn't that much. As much as it would have been had it been all of a sudden. Is it not? All of a sudden, oh, so and so. So in Satyug, there is no sorrow also for this reason. There is no fear of death. And Baba sometimes says, why people are afraid of death? There are, we can think of several reasons. Mainly I have taken out 6 reasons why people are afraid of death. One reason is that I am going to die. This is the first reason. And Baba has given us the knowledge, I never die. You know, just I become the embodiment of the experience of eternity. It's such a beautiful feeling. I'm eternal. People think of calling themselves eternal, you know. They like to become eternal. But yes, I am eternal. It's not that I am to just have fantasies in my mind, I'm eternal. In a true sense, I'm eternal. This is called authority of experience. I'm an eternal being. You know, there are stories of in the scriptures about the devils. Many devils, Ravan, Kans, all these devils which they show in the scriptures. There's a lot of penance, they say in the stories. And Shiva was very pleased with them. And Shiva said, okay, ask for any boon. And mostly the boon they would ask was, I want to become eternal. That was the boon they would ask. And Shiva would say, okay, let it be so. And they would immediately be happy. Oh, I'm eternal. But then after that, after saying, let it be so, God would say, but. But, he would give 1 or 2 conditions. If that would happen, then it won't work. So, okay, so, but, this thing would come. And then they would have to be so cautious that such and such occasion shouldn't arise for them. And then they'll be eternal. But unfortunately, that occasion would arise. And that would bring their death. One small example of, I don't know if you have heard the story of Bhasmasur. Bhasmasur was a devil. And God, Shiva was pleased with him because he did a lot of penance. And he said, God, I want to be given a boon by you that whomever I put my hand on, he should be destroyed. And God said, let it be so. And he thought, well, I am eternal now because whoever will come to kill me, I will just put my hand on his head and he will perish. So I will remain eternal. And I'll put this hand even on God. So God will finish and I will become eternal. Now, Shiva was very clever. He gave the boon, made him happy. But the play became such that Vishnu appeared in front of him in the form of a very enchanting woman. And she taught him how to dance. So he was and became very attracted towards her. And during the dance, she taught him how to put the hand on his own head. And the result was, as he put it on his own head, he died. He was finished, so that was the end of him. So he killed his own self. It's not that God killed him. So that's the story of most of the devils. They wanted to become eternal. But Baba says, why have such a thought? Why do penance for becoming eternal? I have the authority of the experience of eternity. I am eternal. I was never born and I will never die. It's such a wonderful feeling. Can you think of it? You are never born and you will never die. But don't see yourself in a physical way. So this is one thing. Second reason why people are afraid of death is because they're afraid of losing. Losing their possessions because of attachment. That's the second reason. Usually fear is because of attachment. If there's no attachment, there wouldn't be any fear. Usually why I'm afraid of my near and dear one, you know, dying, because I'm attached to that one. So attachment to belongings, that's the second reason. And here Baba tells us, in a second you can fly, just become detached. You brought nothing with you and you shall take nothing with you. Nothing belongs to me. So Baba makes it very easy. When he says, children, think it to be mine. So when it's not mine at all, it belongs to Baba, then no question of attachment. And no question of fear of losing, because it doesn't belong to me. The third is attachment to relationships, bodily beings. Attachment to bodily beings. Sometimes attachment to objects is not that a problem to renounce, to finish. But attachment to people, human beings, that is very difficult. You know, when a person is dying, it's easy for him to forget physical belongings. He knows he's dying. Nothing will go with him. Nothing will accompany him. But then he's remembering people. Oh, my son. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my wife, you know. Because they have been living with them for so many years. And therefore, human beings are remembered more than physical objects. So that's a bigger test to pass in. To not remember any bodily being. And therefore, Baba is teaching us. That's what Baba said in the Murli the other day. The test will be only a 1 second. 1 second means just your last thought. Whatever will be your last thought, that will be your test paper. What is your last thought? Will it be Baba or will it be any human being? Will it be any object or will it be the fear? I'm dying. You know, even that fear is again body consciousness. It will pull the soul down or it will give fear in the soul. But then even that thought shouldn't be there. It should be just one Baba and none other. So I have to become the embodiment of the experience of it for a long time if I want it to come at the end, at the time of need, as Baba said. So experience helps a great deal at time of need. When somebody else who is immature, not experienced, maybe he does not know what to do. And somebody else who has experience, come, let me show you, I'll show you. It's like somebody is very clever in computer knowledge. He has studied a great deal. He has worked with it for years and years. And someone who is new, who is trying to learn, and he may not know what happened, you know, why it happened. But the one who has experience is, oh, this is the problem. Because he knows. He has experience. And he'll be able to correct it instantly. So that's why Baba says experience is the biggest authority. And that's why Baba very often says, always think this is my last moment. Supposing I would be leaving my body at this moment, what will be my thought? You have to go that far to become the authority of experience. So third is remembering human beings. Attachment to human beings. Fourth is ignorance of the future. Sometimes when you are going on a dark street, there is no light, everything is so dark, you're so frightened. Ooh, what will happen? Where am I going? Where will I land? You know, where is this path going? Where will it take me? You don't know. And you don't even want, afraid of even going back because you are just lost. So, fear of the future. What will happen? Well, Baba has told us what the future is. He says, present is so bright and our actions are great, the future will be even brighter. There is no need to worry at all. No need to worry at all. Like if someone has a lot of wealth, and even if he loses some, he doesn't care, he has enough. But if someone has little and he loses that, then what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He'll start shedding tears. So Baba has given us so much. And Our present actions are also righteous. We are proud of it. So our future is very bright. There is no doubt about it. Even if I leave my body at this moment, my future birth will be very bright. I know it. So this is the faith. This is the intoxication. And this is the authority of experience. As Baba has shown us our future anyway. And the fifth reason why people are afraid of death is because death is like a stepping stone towards finishing karmic accounts, you know. So whatever karmic accounts one has done, karma one has done in the past, the punishment of the wrong actions is visualized at that moment. It's very important. And whatever actions I've done in my past, they just come in front of me. And Baba says, you know, like in Dharamrajpuri, you will be shown, these were the actions you did, now be punished for that. So at the time of death, it's like a semi-Dharamrajpuri. Sometimes it's not, sometimes instant. They say, so you were so lucky. You know, he didn't even know that he died. You know, some people die in their sleep. They don't even know. Very lucky they are. Death was so easy for them. So the fifth is the thought of the punishment of the wrong actions committed. And the sixth, very important again, is fear of being lonely. Loneliness causes great fear. When someone is dying, all the relatives are waiting their space just in front of him, but the fear is there. I'm all alone. It's there. So even though people are trying to cheer him up, still there are tears. Because he doesn't realize that he's not alone. So therefore, Baba says, in order to overcome that fear, always remember, Baba is with me, I'm not alone. That's why at the time of death, you know, in bhakti, people remind the dying person of God. Now remember God, remember God. And here Baba says, remember me at every breath, not just in every action, but every breath, because any moment could be your last breath. And therefore you have to remember me at every breath. And therefore I'm never alone. Such a beautiful feeling. So why have any fear? Mostly these are six reasons for becoming frightened of death. So Baba says you have to become the embodiment of that experience. So I am an eternal being. Such a beautiful feeling. But again, it does not mean I am an eternal being. Okay, let me test this faith. And for that, let me go on the railway tracks and stand in front of a running train and I'm not afraid of death. Will you do that? Will you do that? Huh? Why not? I'm not afraid of death. I want to test myself whether I'm afraid of death or not. Or let me just go and hang myself. Let me do this. I want to die to show that I'm not really afraid of death. No. Huh? Six more things, sir? You can do only one of them. There are six more things. And therefore, Baba says, you should not even think in this way that I want to test myself. No. Because this life is very valuable. Very valuable. This is the only life of ours in which we can make efforts, Baba says. Only life in the whole cycle for making spiritual efforts. You can't make spiritual efforts at any other time in the whole cycle. If I have that consciousness, then I will give so much importance to this life. It's like if you have only one shawl, for example, and it's very cold, you have only one shawl, and your shawl is torn, the shawl is dirty, then what will you do? You won't want to shiver. It doesn't matter if it's dirty. It doesn't matter if it's torn. You'll stitch it. Or maybe you will wash it at night and then if it's not fully dry, you'll dry it with ironing it in the morning. But you have only one, so you will give so much importance to it, won't you? If you have many, then doesn't matter even if you lose one. So Baba says this is the only life in which you can make efforts. And therefore we have to give importance to this life. And therefore, Baba says, don't lose even one breath, one single thought. Each thought is very valuable. Each breath is valuable. Each second is valuable. And in this, we have to become perfect in this life of ours. Don't think that I will never mind Baba, I'll take another life to become perfect. No. So, but then again, when Baba says, I have to become perfect, it doesn't mean that I should be so concerned, so worried that I don't do anything because I have to become perfect. You know, there are some, I have to become perfect. That's what Baba says. It should not be just in your thoughts. Just thoughts alone won't help. But I am perfect. I am pure. I am peaceful. Not I have to become. Sharing their feelings of what they experienced, you know, when they were meeting Baba. Baba was speaking. Would you like to share in the class? Who would like to share? Sir? Like to? A few minutes. A few could come forward and share. Maybe it'll be useful for everyone. Bring a chair. Could you bring a chair somewhere? In the back?
It was a very powerful meeting for me. This is my third meeting, and the first one, of course, was very powerful because you get all excited because you haven't seen Baba for a year. But the third one was quite the first one was
in this season.
And the second meeting, I was a little detached, but the third meeting, it was, my experience was, it's interesting to have three meetings and to see how one is different in each of the three meetings. But this one was very powerful because I had been churning on almost exactly what Baba talked about in the Murli, about the, I received almost like an expanded understanding of what it is to have yoga. I mean, Baba simplifies it for us to say, have remembrance of me, because it's a point, because it's, you know, in some ways it's easy to remember a point because you don't, can't remember everything all at once. So, and it's a living point, it's the highest point, so it's beautiful to remember Baba in that way. But he also says you have to have the experience of all four subjects. And I was realizing that, I mean, exactly what he was talking about, this identification that we have with the reality of 63 births, of the constructed personality, the body-conscious personality, and how we really need to have yoga, meaning union, you know, yoga means union, connection, identification with every single point of knowledge that Baba gives us, every virtue, every power, the reality of the cycle, the reality of who I am, the reality of who is teaching me, all of that has to become an embodied experience for me to switch my identification over from body consciousness to the reality of making a new world. And he says we're the master creators, and we're the master creators all the time, whether we accept it or not. We're either creating sorrow for ourselves and confusion and weakness. We're creating that. We are still master creators. But he says the way to create happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction and greatness is to do it this way, to identify with the pure self. And you can forget all that. So for the first time this year, I was able to just see that I don't have to go through the process of understanding all my vikarma. I can just let that go and start building the foundation of the beauty of what Baba is offering us. So when I was listening to Baba, it was as if, Baba, you're affirming and confirming. We're having like an adult conversation with each other. It was like, he was there, you know, I know we all think this, and I'm not for one moment suggesting he was there only for me, but secretly I really think he was there for me. I mean, it's that kind of experience that we all have, which is the treasure of Baba, isn't it? Because we can all have that experience in some way. So it was a very important, the content was really important for me to be affirmed in that way. And also, you know, the excitement of that you're actually churning things which God is picking up as the children are needing, so that synchronicity of having Baba speak almost identically what I've been thinking about, and feeling just very intoxicated, very adult in my relationship this time. First time it was like a child, and this time it was like an adult. It's not that he's not going to be a child again, but it's just that he gave me that experience of being mature. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, anyone else? Lorraine, you like to say something?
Yes? No?
Any first timers would like to say something? And the first time I think you wore a sari. You wore a sari for Baba?
Yeah.
So she's a bride, Baba's bride.
The first thing I felt was I was all over, just like, yeah, filled with so much of love. That people always talk about true love. You know, it's like real first experience of the real love. It's like, the tears are flowing and flowing. I was just like telling Baba, I said, let it flow. Because I was really experiencing it. Maybe first thing, it's like the feeling of Baba is right in front of you. Of course, we've practiced, you know, going to soul world, I mean, going to subtle region, talking to Baba, but this was very practical experience of how Baba is right in front of me and we're actually conversing. You know, it's like, as the sister said, it was like, I am talking direct, and it's like, nothing matters. Nobody, you know, it's like, the whole world might be there, but it didn't matter, it was just me and him and whatever he said, but, was whatever I wanted. You know, it was like, you know, it was a conversation between me and Baba. And it's like, of course, we say, and, okay, but I mean, yoga and all that. But they say, okay, Amrit Vela is the time that you can really sit and talk to Baba. But this time it has given me the feeling that, oh, this is how it really feels. Actually talking, having God in front of you, having Baba in front of you, and you're talking to him, you know. And it has given me a point that, you know, my Amrit Vela is not going to be anymore. It's like that sleepy kind of feeling at times I really had last time, you know. Really sleepy, or at times I cannot really talk to Baba, you know. Just tell Baba I'm sleepy. You know, that's it. But now it's like that feel of that fire, you know, that you really talk to him. Because he was in that 4 hours of, I was trying to take all the benefit. I mean, Baba was in front of me, and how the brother said, you know, you take as much as Trishti you can, don't think about anything else. You know, that feel, and whatever you wanted to talk to him, you spoke to him, and he actually conversed with you. That's what I feel. It's like, I was only one then talking to Baba, and I feel that kind of relationship, I can always have it with Baba after this. You know, it's like, it's a very practical experience I have with Baba. All this while, yes, of course, yoga and this thing, but this is a very special feeling, and I really feel that all Brahmins should at least once meet Baba, because then they know what it really feels, the connection between you and Baba. And I was like, too much of love. That was the only thing I can carry back now. It's like the love, and that Baba said, you're so special. That when he said, you're so special, it was like, you are so special. It's like, he put and showed, this is my child. She's very special. Yeah, that feel. Not that. Stop. No, but that feel was there. I mean, another thing, like, we've always said, you know, in
under the light.
It's just to really put this down in a letter to Baba, the way that I was feeling, and just be completely honest and just give everything, just give it up to Baba, really, and to just relax. And so I went to the second meeting just ready just to just sit there and just accept whatever it was like, and feeling much, much lighter. And I just found that I felt that, wow, Baba is looking directly at me, and this vibration was so powerful. It was like I was just kind of completely engrossed, and like the sister said, it was just natural, like just forget the body. I just forgot. I was so engrossed in this drishti with Baba, and I didn't want it to stop, but at the same time, I was remembering the words of Arjuna, I just didn't want it to stop, but it was so intense, I wasn't quite sure how long I could take it for. But it was just so amazing. It was like Baba just really gave me the return of all my, everything I'd been asking for, things I wanted to be fit. It was just wonderful. So, yeah, I had a wonderful experience. And that felt like that's really going to carry me forward for a long, long time. And so, my lesson really is just to really trust Baba, be honest, be clear and clean, and just relax, and just flow, rather than trying to do something or be something, just flow. So, and I felt like my heart was just really overflowing, just bubbling. I just wanted to imagine that feeling.
Good, you have a chance. In the midst of thousands, it's just you and Baba. Privacy in public. That's it. Of course, there are different levels of experience. Like Baba often says, for the first experience at the beginning, maybe the experience of being a child. I think different relationships lead to different types of experiences. You make Baba your father, your mother, your friend. Baba was saying the other day that God is your friend. It's such a beautiful feeling to make God your friend, to make God your husband, to make God your beloved. I mean, on this basis, there could be different experiences. But then on the other hand, there could be different experiences, you know, on the level of your inner maturity. If one is very new with Baba, then of course, that maturity isn't there. So it's a different feeling. But now see, when the Dadis meet Baba, they're on a different level of consciousness. And so it's different. And sometimes even someone very old in Gyan can become like a child in front of Baba. All the time. So it's good to have different types of experiences. No, why have only one type of experience? Like Baba says, I fulfill all relationships with you, or you fulfill all relationships with me. So try different relationships, and each relationship has a different feeling, a different experience. Sometimes you may see Baba as Dharamraj also. Last Murli was something like Dharamraj Murli. Baba said, caution, attention, the Hindi word is Savdhan. It's such a strong word, you know, Savdhan. So it's different experience each time. Sometimes, you know, I feel that I'm just like an instrument, because when I'm translating, I'm seeing Baba and I'm also seeing the whole world sometimes. I'm translating what Baba is speaking and I'm transmitting it to the whole world. It's a beautiful feeling. I'm not, maybe sometimes I forget that I am taking for myself also. It's a different feeling. See, hers would be a different feeling. Oh, just me and Baba. And my feeling sometimes is I'm not existing. It is just coming and it is flowing into the world. This is my feeling sometimes. Yeah. Some people introduce me in that way. I went somewhere and I said, you know, they were introducing me. They said, this sister is his master's voice. You know, in the olden days, there were gramophone records. His master's voice. A big horn type gramophone with a dog sitting next to it. Have you seen those pictures? That's it. Nowadays they don't exist, but in the olden days. So it was called his master's voice. The records are called his master's voice. So I speak or I translate God. So his master's voice. That's how they introduced me. And before that, how people used to introduce me? Today's program. Because every morning, after Murli, I would be announcing today's program. And someone introduced me as the Minister of Broadcasting and Information. Well, I liked it very much. Whatever way they introduced me as, it's interesting. But anyway, I feel myself very, very fortunate to have been given such a wonderful role in Madhuban, which I never expected. Actually, I never expected that I would be ever living permanently in Madhuban. I came in 1974 from Africa. Actually, I surrendered to Baba in 69 itself, after Baba left the body. And then I was in different centers in India. And in 74, Dariji sent me to Africa. With Vedanti then. I went to Africa in 74. And then in 75, I went to Mauritius, started center in Mauritius. In 76, I came to Madhuban. And when I came to Madhuban, Dariji asked me, would you like to live in Madhuban? He said, well, Baba, it's a wonderful opportunity, and why not? It's like the golden chance of being a resident of Madhuban. I had a choice. There was service in Guyana. Daddy Janaki wanted me to go to Guyana and serve there. And Dadiji wanted me to serve in Madhuban. Now I had to decide between what I would like to do, to go to Guyana or to serve in Madhuban. So Dadi Janaki was quite adamant. She said, no, because I had already experience of foreign service. But then I said, whatever Baba wants me to do. So Dadiji said, okay, you stay here for some time and then we will see. She didn't say no to Dadi Janaki, and she didn't say that no, permanently, you have to stay here permanently. So you try. And then I met Bab Dada. And Bab Dada gave me a wonderful blessing. This is a blessing I don't think she has ever given to anybody else. I mean, not in the same words. Baba asked me, child, do you know which Ganges are you? I said, which Ganges? You know, the Ganges River flows in northern India. It flows all over North India. So which Ganges are you? I said, I am Gyan Ganga, the Ganges of knowledge. So Baba said, yes, that of course everyone is. What other type of Ganges are you? I said, Baba sometimes uses another word, the flowing Ganges. The Ganges of knowledge which is always flowing. I said, I am the flowing Ganges. And Baba said, no, oh, those sisters who live in the center, they are the flowing Ganges. Which Ganges are you? I didn't know of any other Ganges. Ganges of knowledge and Ganges of the flowing Ganges. Then Baba gave me a special name that's called in Haridwar. In northern India, there is a place called Har Ki Pauri. It's a place where all the big saints and sannyasis and sadhus take a dip in that place, in that area where the Ganges water is. The Ganges flows throughout, but then that area, that place is very important. And the sannyasis come and put their foot in that water there. After that, all the householders, family people, they take a dip. But first the sadhus and sannyasis and saints and sages, they come and take a dip. So Baba said, you are the Ganges of that place. And Baba said, see, those who live in the center, they are the flowing Ganges because they go to their bhagats, to their devotees. Because Ganges flows from the Himalayas and goes and comes down and then flows throughout northern India. If you have seen that map of India, and goes into the ocean in the Bay of Bengal, near Calcutta. So you can say, imagine from the Himalayas north and then goes towards the east and flows into the Bay of Bengal. So that's the flowing Ganges. And there are many, many pilgrimage places in North India where the Ganges River is. Banaras is one of them. Haridwar is one of them. And many, many. So Baba said, those who live in the center, they are the flowing Ganges because the Ganges flows to them. And they are where they are. They live, they are in their own towns and cities. And the Ganges comes to them from north, from the Himalayas, and they take a dip there. But you are the special Ganges where you don't have to go anywhere, but the world comes to you. So because that Ganges water is very special, people take that Ganges water straight, you know, direct. They take it home. They fill it in little pots. And that water is so sacred that a dying person, or even after he's dead, they put the water in his mouth and they think that he will be salvaged. So Baba told me that you are the Ganges of that very place. And all the souls of the whole world come to take a dip. And then very soon after that, there was a very big conference, and from Haridwar, from North India, these big sadhus and sannyasis came to Madhuban. And Dadi told me that you teach them meditation to the sannyasis. So I was a little bit reluctant, and because Baba gave me this blessing too, that the whole world will come here and you have to serve even those sadhus and sannyasis, Baba told me. So when there was a conference and these sannyasis came, I was given this task of teaching Raj Yoga meditation to the sannyasis. And I remember in Baba's room in Om Shanti Bhavan, I think the year 1984 or something. So, and all these sannyasis dressed in their saffron robes and sitting to meditate. I told Baba, Baba, what am I going to tell them? And I then, but how Baba spoke, I felt as if I wasn't speaking. It was Baba who was speaking. And they felt such a strong vibration, you know, such powerful feelings they had, and the purity which they experienced from me. That's what they said later on, that the purity which we could experience from you was fantastic. And we felt that even we do not have that much purity as much as you people have purity. So it was definitely a big thing. One of the sannyasis at the end asked me a question, how is it possible to conquer all the vices? Can you imagine a sannyasi asking? And I said, it's natural. Because we were pure, we are pure, and we will be pure. And he was stunned, you know, like that. But they asked, yeah, yesterday's Murli it was, in which Baba said that even these sannyasis, they have to fight hard to conquer the vices. It's true. And then I had to give lectures on television. So even that was a blessing from Baba. Because just before I got the invitation to give lectures on television, Baba gave me a blessing. The blessing was that Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, is on your tongue, in your tongue. So Saraswati, goddess of knowledge, is speaking through you. So I was wondering, what does it mean? I mean, what does Baba want to convey to me, or what does he expect from me? But now, very soon after that, I got invitation for giving lectures on television. So that was in 93, 10 years ago. And after that, I recorded many lectures only for television. But then, for recording lectures on television, I had something to, you know, pay attention to. They told me, you should not mention 5 things. You may give, say whatever you want to say, but don't mention 5 things. I said, what? The first thing they said was, don't mention about your organization. Our organization does this, does that. No, not that. Second, don't mention anything about your guru. Please don't mention about Brahma Baba. So not about your organization, not about your guru, not about your religion, any religion you belong to. Fourthly, not about your country. What Bharat? Bharat was great, Bharat. Because this broadcast will go to 65 to 70 countries. It was not just Bharat, not just one organization, not just one guru. And fifth was, don't criticize anybody else. Just speak good things. Just speak good things for people. That's all. Easy. And I said, okay, what should I, and then don't talk much about God also, is that? Not much about God. Because there may be many who are communists, who are atheists, and they don't want to know about God either. Just speak good things for life, for doing good in life. That's all. So, and he said that, okay, we will record one lecture and then we'll see how we can continue after that. So I said, the best thing what I can do is just talk about peace. Half an hour on peace. Only peace. What is peace? How peace is experienced? Why are we today away from peace? When were we peaceful? And how can we become peaceful again? Something like that. And I spoke about different types of peace. In which way, what does peace really mean? And he was very happy. He said, okay, 8 lectures on different values. And I spoke about love, I spoke about happiness, spoke about all the qualities of the soul. And they liked it very much and said, okay, we want every Sunday a lecture, therefore 52 lectures. So I recorded 52 lectures after that. And then they liked it so much that they said, every day a lecture. So 365 lectures. Well, I didn't go that far, but I'm sure I recorded about 200 lectures. And then I said, it's too much now. Please let others also record. So, but then I kept on recording occasionally. But this was Baba's service. That's what I explained. The beauty of it was, in the morning I would wake up at 3 o'clock, and just open any Avyakt Murli book, and I would get a point. On any virtue, you know, I would get a point, and I would take a pen, and say, Baba, now you have to do the job. And the points would come. I don't know how they would come. Today, if you ask me to write, I will not be able to write. So it wasn't me at all, it was Baba. And then whatever I had written in the morning, I would write on a big sheet of paper, you know, and big words so that keep them, that sheet in front of me and then speak. Because on the television, I couldn't read anything. And I was told that this is a television camera and you have to speak, you have to look at this television camera, the lens. At that time, don't think that you're looking at the lens, but you should think that millions of eyes are watching you through this lens. Millions of eyes are watching you through the lens, because thousands and millions will be watching on the television. And I really felt, I didn't see millions of eyes, I would just see a point of light in front of me and just speak to that point of light. This, I'm speaking to myself or I'm speaking to Baba. And I see the whole world in that. I told myself, Baba is my world. The whole world in one Baba. So that was it. Oh, I've been translating for past 27 years now. Since the beginning, since I started living in Madhuban in 76 onwards. And it was from that time onwards the double foreigners started coming in Madhuban. The first group which came to Madhuban of double foreigners was Brother Charlie, Brother Ken, just a few of them. That was the first group. 75. I wasn't present there at that time. I was in Africa. And I came only in 76 and Dadi wanted me to live in Madhuban because double foreigners had started coming to Madhuban. Centers had just started opening. In London, the first center opened in 75, I think. 74. No, that was, I mean, yeah, 72, but not the real center. So Dadi Janki went in 74. Dadi Sudesh Didi went in 74 to London. So since now an official center started. And also in 75, the first center opened in Australia, in Sydney. So it was all in 75, 76, and Baba then took me here because I had experience of Africa service. And how I went to Africa, that also is another story. That Baba selected me, and in 74, Vedanti and myself, we were to go to Australia, Africa. So both of us went in front of Bab Dada, Avek Bab Dada. And I was too excited, you know, because I was a little bit afraid. I was very young. 74 means how many years ago? 84, 94, 29 years ago. So I went in front of both of us and I asked Baba, what type of service do you want us to do there? What are your expectations? And Baba smiled and looked at me and said, child, the field is already plowed. These were Baba's words. The field is already plowed. You have to just go and sow the seeds. But then now this is a metaphorical statement. What does it really mean? What do I have to do then for that? So then Baba said, you will come across many types of people. You will come across very rich people that never have the thought that they are very rich. And I'm not that rich. You know? We didn't even know, we didn't even have money with us really when we went. Someone invited us and he said he would look after us, he gave us everything. So Baba said, don't think that you don't have money and he's very rich. Baba said, that time you should think that though he may be very rich physically and he have lots of wealth, but the great wealth of peace isn't there in him. And that's what I have to give to him. Never think of receiving. Always think of giving, and you will see the wonders happening. Just think of giving. This was Baba's first thing. And then Baba said, you will come across very educated people with big degrees, but never have the thought that what am I going to tell these people? They are so educated, they are so learned, they are so intelligent. But Baba said, that time you should think, though they have the knowledge of the world, but they do not have the knowledge of the self. So this is what you have to give them. Knowledge of the self. And I remember once I had a nice argument with a scientist. I asked him, may I know who you are? And he said, I'm Mr. So-and-so. I said, well, that's the name of your body. You know, and then we went on and on and on. Ultimately, he had to accept that he was a soul. So that gave me the courage to speak on further on. And then, of course, And then, you know, I was afraid because what if destruction would happen, you know? Baba would send me so far, and if destruction would happen, I would be away from the family. And I didn't know, because I didn't know it was a strange, it would be a strange world and no one whom we would know there. And what if something would happen? So I asked Baba, Baba, you are sending us so far. And what if destruction takes place in the meantime? Then Baba smiled at me and said, child, who is sending you? He said, Baba. If Baba is sending you, then who is responsible? I mean, without answering, Baba made me answer. Baba asked, who is responsible if Baba is sending you? I said, Baba is responsible, naturally. Then Baba said, if Baba is responsible, then why do you worry? So beautiful. And all my, in an instance, I became so light, so light. Baba is there to worry. Why should I worry about myself? That was it. And then when I went to Africa, Vedanti Ben and myself, we had so much service, so much service. No time to cook food. No time for anything else. But lots of fruit. That person who became instrumental, he would provide everything we wanted. We would ask for 1 kilo, he would give 10 kilos. That's what it was. And so much fruit, but then what about food? We had to cook. So no chance of cooking because no time. So what we would do, we would just look at each other, Vedanti and myself, because there were no mothers who would cook for us. I mean, no students yet we were just giving the course. And a big palatial house we got in Zambia. And Sister Usha, who gave a class the other day, her parents were one of the first students of Africa service. She was not coming. She was only 12 years old and she never wanted to come to the center. I don't know if she related her experience to you, that her mother pulled her, means wanted her to come, but she never wanted to come to the center. Then we went to her house, their house. Her parents invited us. And then Sister Vedanti, she was offering bhog there in their house. And Sister Usha, she was forced to sit there by her mother. And she sat there and immediately she went into trance. And she saw Krishna, you know, in heaven. After that, she got no visions, but that was the only vision, and then she came to Baba. So, that was the thing. Huh? Big? No, I had the thought when I was in Madhubandhana, if I go there, and I'll have to serve them. But then Baba finished that thought immediately, and it was like a blessing to me. This thought never came. So Baba prepared me beforehand. So that was it. Om Shanti.